story of my life, Roland. I was born at the Cool in the house right opposite the chapel. I am told I was a very sick baby and was very ill when only a month old with bronchial pneumonia, and the doctor said I would not live. But like every time they've said this, and many a time they've said it, I have defied them. The first few years of life, I didn't remember much of. I just vaguely remembered that living at the Cool, that there was a water pump where my father and mother got the water for the house in the front garden. I was up there some time ago and it was still there. We were only a short time there, and then we went to East Baldwin. But East Baldwin was a shorter time, as Tossie Clugas was having a bungalow built for my parents. This bungalow had three large bedrooms, and it had a big dining room and a back kitchen. There was no bathroom or hot water and that sort of thing in those days. To have a bath, we used to have a big tin bath outside, and that was brought into the house where it was filled with hot water, and then we had our baths in that on a Friday night. It was put into the back kitchen and everything was shut off, and you just had your bath. Most houses didn't have bathrooms in those days. The toilet was outside. It was all right in the daytime, but at night it was jolly cold when you went out there. There was a very large garden to this house, and Dad was very fond of his garden. He grew beans, peas, potatoes, celery, carrots, rhubarb, and onions. And under the house, he used to grow mushrooms. Flowers, he grew gladiolus, stocks, roses, snowdrops. And he also had lots of bushes, gooseberry bushes, red and black currant bushes. And he had apple and pear and plum trees. And he had two greenhouses. One was beside the house, which he always grew tomatoes in, and we also had a grape vine in that greenhouse. In the other greenhouse, he would have cucumbers and marrow. That was mostly what they called a cold house. And we used to have a lovely loganberry. You name it, and Dad would grow it. Clugas's laundry was where we all started our working years. Dad was manager of the dyeing and dry cleaning department. My mother never went out to work, she stayed at home. Now, my father, he was a tall, slim, good-looking man. He was always very brisk. He had a temper, but once his temper had been broken, he'd shout at you and that, it was over as quick, and he would be the best of friends again. Mother was a lot smaller than my father, and she's more on the plump side. A very good looking lady, and both my parents, mother and father, they were very, very patient. They were very strict, but at the same time, they were wonderful parents. My first memories, I think, was when we lived at Riversbank. That was the bungalow that was built, and it was right opposite to Clugas's laundry, with a river and a large lawn separating it. I would be about 5 years of age. I did not start school until I was 7 because of health problems. I have wonderful happy memories of life and family. As I said, our parents were very strict, but they were true Christians. We were taken to church and Sunday school. We were always encouraged to bring home all our friends, and this we certainly did, and we had some wonderful parties. Our parents were great fun, but at the same time, as I've said before, they were very strict. And if you were told to be home at 10 o'clock, they meant 10 o'clock, and woe betide you if you didn't obey. My school days were great fun. I went to Murray's Road School in Douglas. My favourite subjects: maths, English, spelling, needlework and sports. I had many friends, to name but a few. There was Muriel Bullock, Louis Millian in Hunstall, Janet Boyd, Thelma Corlett, Anne Humphrey, Hilda Cowell, Brenda Cubbon, Grace Eaton, Doris Kermode, Harvey Briggs, Sidney Gorn, Ernie Corlett, Nerna Humphrey, Jimmy Linsky, Jackie Cruche, Teddy Kane, and the Ennett family. Our play areas were up the Claddock. That's the field right up past the dam. And we'd spend many happy hours there. There used to be a dippy dub, which we called our swimming pool. We used to make swings with a rope and on the to the branches of the trees, and we'd swing across the river, often falling in too. And then there was the dam, and we would play roly-poly there on the slope and banks. And many times we have made boats out of boxes and sailed them down the river. It was a good thing we were all taught to swim. The times we have been soaked and gone home and had to sneak in through the front door to our bedrooms and change our clothes. We would build sod houses in the plantation. The plantation was just up beside the bungalow, right up. My father had hens on it later on, but I'll come to that later on. Then in the village, we had great fun. Playing in the winter, scoop, hide and seek, shadow hiding, football. And in the spring, we would play top and whip, marbles, hopscotch, rounders, races. Oh, we were not angels. We used to torment an old lady named Kitty Cannon, who lived in a small caravan in the old quarry. We would throw stones until she came out to chase us. And another thing we used to do would be tie the doorknobs together at the houses in the village. They used to be opposite to each other, mostly. Then we'd knock on the doors and hide. Often we'd be caught, and a good smack we would get. There was great fun though. When September came, we would start and gather rubbish for our bonfire in November. We would store it in the old quarry, and then on the day, men from the laundry would come up and they would bring old firewood, tires and petrol, and they would build it up higher than the houses, right in front of number 7. All the traffic would be stopped, and when it died down, we'd put spuds and chestnut on the red hot cinders of the fire where we could get in, and it was great fun. Christmas would bring us up to the village hall. There would be a huge Christmas tree there from the top to the ceiling, and we would be practicing for weeks before for a concert. And we as children, we would have to rehearse for this, and you had no option. There was they used to have competitions. There was impromptu speech competitions, spelling bees, poetry, and solos. And there was always the massive big tree, laden with dolls, all beautifully dressed. And there used to be presents for everybody, the boys and the girls first, and then the adults would get a present. And the children would always get a white paper bag containing an apple, an orange, a bar of chocolate, and a sticky bun to take home with us. Oh, such happy days. And it seemed always to be warm and sunny in the summers in those days. At Easter, it was a tradition to walk to Port Sodrick. All families would go. They would have games around us when we got there, and we'd enjoy our picnic sandwiches. But for a treat, Mum and Dad would let us come back by the train. That's if we behaved ourselves. Another thing we used to do when we were children would be gather herbs for old Mrs. Kelly. Now, Mrs. Kelly was Muriel Bullock's grandmother, and she used to make herb beer. She had a small shop and sold herb beer, lemonade, and cigarettes. And on Sunday mornings, there would be crowds queuing up to buy it. Visitors returning to Douglas and Kirkbride and open air services. Then we had Mrs. Hunstall's shop, which sold all things from bacon to paraffin. Mr. Hunstall was a great character. He was a postman, and you'd never see him without his bike, but you'd never see him riding it. He was always pushing it, and he would always give us a penny when he met us on the road. He was very good with us all. We all walked to school from Cronkburn, to Murray's Road and walked home for dinner and back again, then home at tea time. There was plenty of exercise in those days, and we were in trouble if we were late. The village had many characters, Mr. Frank Bullock and Walter McGee. They would go out, bosom friends for a drink, then come home drunk and fight like mad. Fun to watch, though. And then there used to be two ladies known as Aunt Emily, and it was a sister, Mrs. Kermode. And it was fun watching them at football matches. Oh, you wouldn't miss a football match if Braddon was playing, even if it was just go to watch Emily and her sister. They would always be supporting Braddon, and they'd be running up and down the line, shouting to the players what to do, like, down the field with the sunny, come on, Tommy, get up there, get up your backside, come on, kick the ball, and all this sort of thing. Oh, they'd be running up and down the line with the linesmen. It was a job, I'm sure, really, to keep them from getting on the field and kicking the ball. There was a river in front of our house, and many times we were flooded. Now, when we were flooded, we'd have to get out, and we'd go to what was known as Larmony's Hut. It was a bungalow made of wood, and it was built right up on the high part, up by the mill road. One time, the dam burst its banks, and we were really, that really was a flood. All the bridges were swept away, and all the laundry that was in Cronkburn Village, in Cloops's laundry, sorry, was floating about at Portishee Meadow. We all had to go down and collect it the next day. And the village had five dry toilets in rows. And when it was dark, we would watch for the people going to them. They would have a candle with a jam jar over it. No electricity in those days. Then we would all start singing, "We know where you're going." This was all innocent fun in those days. Our direct neighbours were the Callows, who lived by the football field in a house called Meadow Cottage. Edens lived in the laundry yard. Their house was called Riverside. They were both very good neighbours, and we all got on well. I left school at 14 years and started work with my friends in the laundry. This was very hard work. It was long hours in the summer. We would start at 8 o'clock and finish at 11. All for 36 shillings a week. And if we worked on Saturday mornings, we were given sixpence. Great deal. This certainly wouldn't be tolerated in this age, but in those days we thought we were well off. In the winter we only worked from 8 o'clock till 5 o'clock. And we in the summers there we used to have some lovely picnics, and there'd be trips to Liverpool and Fleetwood. And in the winter, there'd be the dinner dances. Life was really good. We had our hard times, but we had our good times too. Then when I became older, say about 17 or 18, I began to go out with boyfriends, and we would go to the country dances at Abbeylands and the Braid and Maroun. Now then, these were great fun because all the country boys would be going there. And often enough, we'd be dancing out on the road. It was great fun. And we had, in those days, you didn't do anything that was wrong. Well, we didn't think it was wrong like it is today. But then times changed, don't they? And then when we got older, we were allowed to go into Douglas. And we'd go to the dances at the Palady Dance, the Palace Ballroom, Derby Castle, Cunningham's Camp and Collinson's. We all had plenty of choice. And then there was the pictures in Strand Street. There was the Strand and the Picture House. In Victoria Street was the Regal, and in Walpole Avenue it was the Royalty, also known as the Fleet Pit. We must admit there were plenty of places of entertainment. We also played badminton, hockey. We belonged to cycling clubs. I belonged to the Girls Friendly Society, to the British Legion, and to the WIs. and I became an active member on all these clubs. I was elected onto Kirkbraddon Council and I was in the chair. War was declared and this caused sadness and excitement. All our boys left for the forces and the island was invaded with Air Force, Army and Naval men. Plenty of dance partners. We had to be very careful as no house or no light of any description was allowed to be seen. And if a light, even a kink in the curtain was spotted, you were heavily fined. I joined the Wrens. That was the best years of my life. It was great, as to me, it was just like going out to work, as I was allowed to live at home. I was stationed in Balcarry 2, which was on the promenade. And I had a job as part of the captain's pool. Now this was actually a team who did typing of signals, answering the phone, showing people to various offices. And the office work in general. I wanted very much to go abroad, but I didn't manage it. I passed over here and got as far as Liverpool and had to go for another medical, and it was there that I failed the medical. I went to Balcarry, I was returned to Balcarry 1, which was still on the promenade. There was Balcarry 1 and Balcarry 2, and then Douglas Head, what was the radio station now, was in those days another naval belonging to Balcarry 1, but sort of a branch of it. I ended up actually in the office doing up at Douglas Head. It was a very, very good life. I did get as far as Dovercourt. That was 18 miles the other side of London. But that was awful. There was bombing London every night and the planes would be going over. I never prayed so hard as what I used to pray those nights. I didn't like that. But I had to come home on compassionate leave as my father took ill and he was in hospital. And then I got reposted and went back to Douglas Head and worked in the confidential book office. I had no choice. In those days you did it, and you did it without any argument. I had to open that office at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it meant I left home, that was at Cronkburn, at 4:30 in the morning, and I had to walk. There was no buses those days, and there was no lights on the road either. And I used to have to walk down Tremode Road and up to Douglas Head, rain, hail or snow. You wouldn't dare be late. Yes, I was often scared, especially going past the trees by the waterfall in Portishead. There was a lot of aliens, we used to call them, on the island. And a lot of these used to try and escape. I had met two or three on the road, and I used to run like mad past them. Because I was frightened of them, yes, I was. But it used to be great fun because we'd be out every night dancing, and I mean, so there was always something doing. In the summer nights, we'd have lovely long walks and go to the pitches, perhaps end up at the Villa Marina, and then we'd go and have it to the cafes and have fish and chips and things like that. Life was really work to the full. Now, when the war was declared over, it happened late at night, or should I say in the early hours of the morning. Oh boy, that was wonderful. We all got up and dressed and ran down the road to the promenade. We had dancing and singing, and the boats were blowing the hooters, church bells were ringing, everybody was singing and dancing until we went home about 8 o'clock next morning. It was a night that we'll never forget. There was hundreds and hundreds of people on the promenade. Some of them out in their night dresses even. They didn't bother to get dressed. They just put dressing gowns on them. And there was even two pianos rolled out onto the promenade. It was just wonderful, it was, to think that the world was at peace once again. And our boys would be coming home. Brothers and husbands, oh, it was a wonderful time. When I was demobbed, I went to work in Ramsey Post Office for 12 months. It was really too far to travel, so I packed it up and went to work at James Cain's fashion shop. I met my first husband, Stanley Dale. He was great fun, and he had a little old Ford car. We joined the Pebble Motorcycling Club, and he was one of the TT workers, being a timekeeper and also flagging the winners in. We used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He would come and collect me, and we would go to the grandstand for the practices, then home and have breakfast and go to work. We certainly lived life to the full. We would go dancing about 4 times a week into the pitches and club meetings. We got engaged, and the club members wanted to know when we were intending to marry. Stanley was a joker. And when we decided to get married, he went and bought some wedding invitations. And he wrote them as if I had to write them, just as if my mother was writing them and inviting them to our wedding. And he went and said, "We'll send these invitations out." He says, "We'll have a great laugh here," he said, "on this." And what he did, we'd done the invitations, but we invited them to our wedding, which was going to be, they thought, on New Year's Day at 9 o'clock at St. Luke's Church. They collected and gave us a wedding present. And we didn't expect that, as the real date was March the 14th, 1949. Well, that on the morning of New Year's Day, it was very, very cold and frosty. The night before, they'd had a stag night. And Stanley carried it on right through, pretending that we were going to get married on New Year's morning. Well, he came on his motorbike to collect me on New Year's morning, and we went out to St. Luke's. No, we weren't getting married. We hid behind the hedge and watched. Yes, the boys turned up and some of their wives, and they went into the church. When they got into the church, we got on the bike and headed home, leaving them waiting. We never lived it down. Then on our wedding day, they were all there, and they certainly let us know it too. We were married at Kirkbraddon Church in the morning, and we had a wedding breakfast at the Savoy Hotel, which was in those days in Victoria Street. It's now a bank. Then we went away. They all came to the boat, and they had they had balloons and banners and all sorts of things. They'd got the crew to put them on the boat. And everywhere we walked, and inside our cabin, as we opened the cupboard, a bucket full of confetti showered us. Then that night we stayed at the Adelphi Hotel, and they had all the rooms decorated. They had one member of the club who was in Liverpool and on business, and they got him to do it. We were very embarrassed next morning when we went down for breakfast. As we went into the dining room, everybody stood and started clapping, and all we could hear was, "Here comes the bride," playing. The table had a big notice on it, "Reserved, just married," and this is how they got their own back on us. We only stayed there 2 nights, then went down to Warwickshire and London to see the Ideal Home exhibition. Stanley took ill in London, and the doctor there told me to take him home and get him to a doctor here, as he needed help. Little did I know it was cancer. He put the best side out, and we tried to carry on with life. Then his mother died. She was a wonderful lady, and we did miss her. After 2.5 years, our world was complete. We had Roland. Stanley was so pleased and proud of him. After 4 years of a happy married life, Stanley went to the Myrtle Street Cancer Hospital, where he died. I was devastated, a widow, 32 years old, and a little boy without his father. Life just fell to pieces. Stanley died in June, and my mother died in the September, and Dad in the October. All my loved ones, all gone in one blow. That now is a closed chapter. But even as I write this, I can honestly say I will never forget them. Life had to go on. Roland was all I had left to show for my happiness. I cannot remember an hour I managed to keep, I cannot remember how I managed to keep going. I met George, he was a shop assistant in the 50 Shilling Tailors. He was a very gentle and a very caring. He was a real conservative person. He was a tailor by trade. He always said he only married me because he wanted Roland as his son. He was very fond of Roland, and when he first met him, he was wonderful to him. He was just like a father. We had some very happy times. Sometimes it was very hard. George did not tell me before he was married that he was an epileptic, and this was a great shock. However, it was an illness and we had to live with it. I found it very hard when he had a fit. George was Manx by birth but lived in Liverpool, then back to the island. We gave Roland the best we could. Roland met Anne and was married in Ireland. Then we had Roman and Darwin, and they brought us great joy. George and I would save hard and went abroad to Austria, Holland, Germany and Italy for holidays. I have done all sorts of work, laundry, rent, shop work, ice cream and cheese factory, grocery shop, making life jackets and being manageress of a sewing factory. Then my health broke down. I had a very serious heart trouble. It was so bad that in the end I was given 2 months to live. Eventually I was sent to Liverpool in 1979 and had an operation. I had an operation in June and I returned to Nova's Hospital in October. For 3 weeks there and then I was home. I was only size 12 when I came back. I was size 18 when I went. And I was told I wouldn't work again as the operation was major. I had to have 3 new valves, but because I couldn't take any more anaesthetic, they only had time to do the main aortic valve, stretch the others. I did get to work, light shop work in the Jaeger shop. That was my last place of work. George retired but took a little part-time job at Ballymona Hospital in the canteen. We loved going for walks together, shopping trips. We spent our last Christmas day together with Roland and Nan and the 2 boys. The following morning, George took ill and he was in Nobles Hospital for 2 months before he died. He suffered very much indeed. It was very hard to watch him suffer. I know we could do nothing to help him. I always thought I would be the first one to go. I couldn't believe that George would go before me. I had Hillary's husband, Bill, staying with me just after George had died. He was looking for a house, but it was a dreadful time. I didn't like him with me, so he had to go. Hilda Mason, Vanda Dudley, and Dorothy Tickler and I were all widowed in the same year, so we all went out together. Then on the spur of the moment one day, we decided to start an autumn club for lonely people. It has taken off, and from having 13 members, we are now 32. We have speakers and outings, and it gives us plenty to do, arranging and running it. So Roland, Anne and Darwin, you now know what I was like. I will always love you all. I regret all my life is that I couldn't do more for you. I can only leave you memories. But I do thank you for all your love, help and care. God bless you all. Love, Mum and Grandmum. Places that I have worked in my 69 years of life, Roland. I worked in Clucas's Laundry. I joined the Wrens. I went to Ramsey Post Office. I worked in James Cain's. I also worked in Lowy's Shop Office. They were wholesalers. I worked in Lyon's Dress Shop in Strand Street. I worked in Ward's Ice Cream Factory in their office. I also worked at the Jane Crookall Maternity Home. And I worked for Mark Shaw making life jackets. And eventually went to Unimill's Light Sewing Factory as a manageress. And then I went to the Yeager Shop and to Sarah's up in Port Jack. That's 12 jobs in my 60 years of life. Mind you, recording this, I am now 74 years. I was born in July the 17th, 1921. My parents were Annie and Joseph Arden, and they were both come from Stockport. My brothers were Leslie, Douglas, Ronnie, Teddy and Lawrence. And my sisters, Doris, Mona, Margie, Vera and Audrey. My father's occupation was dyer and dye cleaner at Clucas's Laundry, and my mother was a housewife. The family home was at Riversbank in Cronkburn. When my dad retired, he took up poultry and he ended up with nearly 1,000 hens. He sold eggs to shops and to customers all over the island. He was very, very particular about his hens. I think he had about 8 different hen houses. He had heated some of them when they were little tiny chickens. He went and bought, we called it a house. It was like a hut, but it had 2 bedrooms in it. And he bought this specially for the chickens. He had incubators in them. And at night, he would go up and put the light on for them. And then in the morning, he'd be up 3 and 4 times at a time to go and see that they were all right. He loved his hens. And he got such a pleasure out of it. And we got pleasure out of watching them and helping them sometimes too, because there was always work to do with the hens. He didn't sell many at Christmas or anything like that. Well, in fact, he couldn't kill one, because if he killed one, he couldn't eat it. He felt too much about them. He always had his eggs weighed. They were always washed and then they were weighed, and they had to be the 2.5 ounces. If they weren't 2.5 ounces, well, my father wouldn't sell them to people. They would be put back and it would be family that would use those up. He always had people coming to the house for eggs. And so they were never lonely. They always had somebody there all the time. It was a very happy household. Clubs and things like that I belonged to, organisations, Roland, that I belonged to. I belonged to the Wrens Association, to Braddon WI, Braddon and Maroun Royal British Legion Women's Section, to Braddon Mothers Union, Union Mills Fellowship, Braddon WI, and Union Mills Autumn Club. I was a very active member in the Braddon WI, in the Wrens Association, and the British Legion. In the Braddon WI, I did public speaking, and for 4 years, 3 years, I held the championship, and then for 2 years, I was still in the running. I'd come third and fourth. And the years before that, when I first met your father, Stanley, I belonged to Pebble Motorcycling Club, to the Ellen Bannon Cycling Club, to Braddon Badminton Club, Clucas's Laundry Sports Club, Douglas Hockey Club, and Murray's Road Netball Club. So you see, Roland, I wasn't a person who sat down. I got up and got going. My pet dislikes. I hate getting up late in the morning. I must be up early. I hate cleaning windows too. And I hated being ordered what to do. And the biggest thing I hate is being dependent on my family, which I am. The likes, I love to help people. I like to cook. I like sewing and dressing dolls. And I love organizing things. And I love going to church. Churches I've gone to, well, I was brought up a Methodist and I went to Salisbury Street Sunday School when I was very young. Then when I met Stanley, I went to St Andrew's Church, and then I went to Kirkbraddon. I was in the council, in the choir, and I was also on their council. Then I went to Union Mills Methodist Chapel, to St Luke's, and now I go to the Elam with the family, and also I go to Union Mills in the afternoon. Now that, Roland, is more or less my life story, but I know that you wanted to know more things than just my life. There's things that I have done. Now let me think. Holidays that I had with Stanley. We went to London twice. We went to Warwickshire. And we used to love to go to Liverpool just to see some theatres. Like, we'd go away to see Peter Grimes and different shows like that. I went to Oxford, and I've been to Cambridge on holiday. That was when I was with Stanley. With George, one thing that I do remember is the Cronkburn reunion, which was held the 21st of July in 1992. Now, that was a wonderful day. I had asked for the backing of the Autumn Club for that, but they thought I was mad to think on trying to do a reunion. They said it would never get through. But I was determined that it was going to go, so I went on my own and I arranged the whole thing. But the ladies from the Autumn Club did support me when they seen that I was determined to go through it. When the day arrived, I woke up and I seen it was windy and it was wet. And I thought, oh dear, what am I going to do? But within an hour, the sun was shining. And believe me, you, it shone all that day. The Lord was certainly looking after me that day. We had a wonderful day, and people even now, 2 years after, say we could never do that same thing again because it was one on its own, something that could never happen again. But shortly after that, we had the Baldwin reunion. Now, Roland, you won't forget that in a hurry. The wind and the rain that was out of Baldwin, out at St Luke's, how the tent was blowing down, but didn't we have a wonderful time just the same? I think it was absolutely fabulous, I do. George and I liked our holidays. We would save up very, very hard for them. Manchester and Liverpool, we have been to several times. We used to go up to Manchester with Mr. Thorpe, who owned the factory where I was manageress of. We went to Scotland. We went to Liverpool, of course. That was George's home. We used to go there to Lily's and Reenie's and Nina's. Scotland we went to with Lily and Lawrence, and that was wonderful. We had 2 weeks up in Scotland and come down to the Lake District on that holiday. Stockport and Romley, I have been to in many times, and I've been to Bakewell, to Sheffield, to Austria, to Axums, Germany, Italy, Bavaria, and to the Holland to see the bold fields. those are holidays that we really have to save for, but ones that we really enjoyed. Now then, that is my family life, Roland, and I'm going to stop the tape here because I'm going to make it another one of things that we used to do, work, food, and all that sort of thing, which I know you want to do. You want. So for that one, I'll leave now.